come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is optimism. Each of my guests brings an optimistic, upbeat attitude and approach to his or her topic. My next guest is a high-energy consultant who challenges his clients to examine their beliefs and habits, expand their thinking, and realign their priorities. We'll discuss how he realigns one's thinking based on his book, The Answer Is Yes. Jim Charette is a sought-after speaker whose corporate background includes The New York Times, E.F. Hutton, Dale Carnegie Training, and 20 years as a VP at Merrill Lynch. For over 12 years, he's been coaching a variety of individuals, including senior executives, sales managers and professionals, politicians, and entrepreneurs. Jim also publishes a monthly newsletter directed at over 10,000 sales consultants throughout the country titled Jim's Financial Advising. His latest book is optimistically titled The Answer Is Yes, But First You Have to Ask. Joining us from New Jersey. Hi, Jim. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Bill?
Terrific. Thank you for being our guest, and thank you for being a thought leader on the show. Love your book. The answer is yes. So many people go into a situation thinking that they're going to get shot down whenever they ask a question, and I love the optimistic approach that you bring to this. But let's start with, in your book, you give many, many good reasons to ask for what it is that we want. One that really stood out in my mind is asking lets people know that you care. So connect the dots for us, if you will. How does asking let people know that you care?
It really depends on the question we ask. We can ask people how they're doing. We can ask people what is it that most concerns them. We can ask people how we can best help them. We can ask people how they could best help us, because a lot of people do want to help. So there's really no limitation in what we can do for people, with people, by asking.
All right, and that is important. We often forget to ask. I mean, in this wholly self-centered world, we do tend to think more about ourselves, and some of us, myself included, don't reach out to others for help. So that's a good way of tapping into that and letting people know that you care. But for many of my listeners, over time, now that they've reached adulthood, you know, society has sort of worn them down when we ask too many questions. You've really identified the major reasons why most people don't ask for what it is they want in life. What are some of those reasons?
Well, the reasons that I've found, Bill, are the following. Firstly, we're basically taught not to ask. We fear the answer, and we lack the confidence to ask, and we don't want to sound foolish. Lastly, we, as you pointed out, we just don't think about it.
Well, those are important, and I want to come back and circle back around and talk in depth about one or two of those, if we can, Jim, for just a minute. And the one that really caught my attention is we fear the answer. That one intrigues me. If we don't want to know the answer, why would we ask?
Well, what we want to ask for is slightly more important, at least we feel, than the fear of hearing a no. So we'll take a chance and dip our toe in the water. But as you point out, as if we hear no, or I'm not really interested, often enough, we kind of fall back into our old habit and say, well, I'm not going to take that chance again.
All right, so talk to us, if you will, then, about how it is we refine and understand what it is we're really asking for. Because if we know what it is we're asking for, chances are we're not going to give up quite that easily, are we?
We aren't, and there's rarely anything out there that we can't ask for. There's a quote attributed to Steve Jobs where he said that he has never had anybody turn him down when he asked for help. And he cites an example or two of his younger days, so he wasn't the Steve Jobs that everybody knew and has read about recently. And I believe that, not just of him, but of most of us. If we ask, and we ask at the right time, we ask the right people, we ask in the right way, few people are going to turn us down. And if they do, we can be comfortable asking them why, without actually saying why, because that's kind of challenging. You know, we could come out and say something like, I think I understand why you can't accommodate me, but would you help me too? So we can engage the person we're asking so that they will help us understand why they can't fulfill our request.
Engagement is an important part of that. My guest is Jim Charette. He's the author of the book, The Answer is Yes, But First You Have to Ask. And you mentioned in that example Steve Jobs. Well, Steve Jobs is a highly charismatic person. He was at the beginning of his career. He was at the end of his life a very charismatic person. Many of us, most of us, don't have that kind of charisma, don't have that kind of chutzpah to go out and to ask for what we want. So let's bring it back down to, how do you refine that question to know exactly what it is that you want to ask for so that you're concrete and crystal clear on that?
Well, this is a good point, too, but I also want to point out, Bill, that Steve cites an example of when he was 12 years old, he called Hewlett-Packard and asked them for some free spare parts. He's 12 years old. They don't know. They don't have a clue as to who he is, so his notoriety, his celebrity, hadn't yet been known, but he knew what it was that he wanted. Not asking is kind of like having a swimming pool and having no water in it because you're waiting for the rain to fill it. Which means there are so many opportunities out there just for asking. In from a business perspective, from a personal perspective, there isn't anything out there that we can't migrate towards by not asking.
Well, that's very true. And I like the quote that you've included in your book. It's a Wayne Gretzky quote, and Wayne Gretzky lives here in Ventura County, so it's very appropriate. He says, you miss 100% of the shots you never take. How true is that?
That is so true. That is absolutely true. That's a quote. That is a quote to live by. So what's the worst thing that's going to happen when we ask? Somebody's going to say no, or the equivalent of no. So one of the things that I work with people on a coaching basis on is, how do you handle the no? Well, you can do it one of several ways. My favorite is this. It's when somebody says no, you can say back to them, is that a no for now, a no forever, or is that a no you just don't like me? So if you say it with the proper tone, and with a hint of humor, I think, it's going to engage somebody to explain their reasoning to you. And once you understand the reason, you may discover that it could be they really didn't understand what you were asking for. So you can rephrase it and come back again.
All right, Jim. My guest is Jim Charette. We're talking about his book, The Answer is Yes, But First You Have to Ask. Well, Jim, you've just touched on something that many of my listeners and me worry about. You know, we're all worried about no because we take no personally. And then you asked in those follow-up questions, is it no forever? Is it no right now? Or is it no because you don't like me? Most of us don't want to know the answer to that last question. It's no because you don't like me, because that fear of rejection deep down inside, that's what we all are concerned about. So talk to us again about how do we become less worried about the fear of rejection.
Well, one of the things that happened when I first sent my initial manuscript out for editing is one of the editors came back and said, you really have to strike this line of questioning. And the question he was talking about was, in a relationship, I suggested that one of the partners asked the other partner, how are we doing? How's our relationship going? And this gentleman came back to me and said, well, what happens if the partner says, horrible, I want a divorce? Well, I think this is akin to what you're asking, Bill, and that is, it's better to know ahead of time than to see the back of the door as they walk out, so that you can begin to ask. And if they say, no, I don't like you, you could come back and say, is there anything about me? And depending on how valuable what you're asking for is, you could come back and say, is there anything about me that you think we can talk about? Is there anything I can do to change your mind? Is there anything I can do to help you see what it is that I'm after? Is there anything I can do to help you? Anything I can do to help you? I think that's a great question.
Well, they're all good questions, but they all presuppose that you've got the self-confidence, that you've got a personal vision of yourself that's strong enough to take that criticism. So for people who don't have that thick skin, what can they do to start building it up? Because obviously this is a process. You don't begin asking these questions right off the bat. So how do you build up your confidence? How do you build up that elephant skin, if you will?
Well, I like that question. And one of the things I do in speaking to large groups is I bring two arrows, two little toy arrows with me onto the stage. And I hold them out about 4 feet apart. And I say to them, if we could take both of these arrows and shoot them at the same time, from, say, from coast to coast, and they would arrive at the same way, in theory. So they would still be four apart as they went from New York to Los Angeles. But if we take one arrow and move it simply 1 degree, now that 1 degree is one out of 360, and I move the arrow 1 degree, you can barely see it. You can't see that movement. But if you move it 1 degree, by the time those arrows that are now 4 feet apart go from New York to L.A., they'll be over 52 miles apart. So my point is, it just takes a small change. And sometimes it's not even noticeable. You can call it baby steps. It starts with baby steps. When I work with salespeople on asking, I ask them to go out and find people they can talk to, they can ask questions of. Not the big sales questions, but little questions. So they get their feet in the water and they get comfortable. And I start out by saying to them, I'd like you to go out, find seven people today that you can ask a question of. The question can be, excuse me, do you know what time it is? Or can you direct me to such and such an address? Or can you tell me where the nearest coffee shop is? Little questions. So that if there is a rejection, it's small. And we can build up, as you say, a thick skin.
My guest is Jim Charette, author of the book, The Answer is Yes, But First You Have to Ask. So, Jim, I loved your book, but break it down for us. If there's just one question that one could master that would open up genuine, meaningful dialogue, what would that one question be?
I think we have to qualify the question. But once we do, the question is, how are we doing? Now, I'll be the first to tell you, Bill, that asked in a fly-by manner, as we meet somebody on the street that we may know, we may say, hey, how are we doing? And the person may answer, may not answer, and we'll both be on our merry way. But if we qualify it in terms of, I wonder what you think of my company's service. So in that regard, how are we doing? So you're asking the person to address a specific issue, and you're saying to them, in that one instance, or in those instances, how are we doing? Or you could say, in terms of the quality of the product, how do you think we're doing? Or in terms of our relationship, how are we doing? So the question can go from employer to customer, employee to customer, and employer to employee, and employee to employer. So it spans the universe almost. How are we doing? Give me some feedback. Is there anything that I can do to improve? Is there anything I can do to improve our relationship? A great question with our mates, with our children, even with our friends. How are we doing?
Well, I think it's a wonderful question, and it helps to build that rapport. It helps to show that you have empathy for the other person. My guest is Jim Charette. Jim, one of the variations that you have in your book that I really liked on that exact same question, how are we doing, is this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how are we doing? Wait for the answer. And then, if the answer is anything but a 10, the follow-on question is, what will it take to get us to a 10? Why is that so powerful? And from your experience, why has that been so useful in business?
Well, the main reason it's so powerful is we're asking the person we're asking them for their opinion. And by doing that, hopefully we're sending a message that says, your opinion's important. I'd like to know how you think, how you feel we're doing here. And so a lot of people might say, oh, we're doing good. Oh, it's fine. But that's the easy answer. If you ask them to quantify it on, say, a scale of 1 to 10, and they give you anything less than a 10, then you're free to jump in, as you pointed out, and say, well, what is it we have to do to earn a 10? So whether in business, Bill, or in a relationship, you're telling them that you want to improve whatever deficiencies they think are there.
And that is a very powerful question. My guest is Jim Charette, author of the book, The Answer is Yes, But First You Have to Ask. Jim, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Answer is Yes?
That they have the ability to go out and fill that swimming pool without having to wait for the rain to do it for them. They have the ability to go out and to create situations that give them more opportunities than they currently have simply by asking for them and asking at the right time, as I pointed out earlier, in the right way and at the right people. So ask, and if the answer comes back that isn't satisfactory, ask what you can do to improve the situation.
That is great. Now, Jim, you've had a varied business life. I mean, New York Times, VP at Merrill Lynch, E.F. Hutton when it was still around. So what did you get out of writing your book? The answer is yes.
I always knew that asking was important, but writing the book helped me formulate and take that concept and put it into a much more organized fashion. Quite some time ago, Bill, I found myself in a client's office. And the client was an attorney, and he actually was on the phone as I was standing in the doorway, and he motioned me in. And so I sat down, and he was speaking with his hands. He was talking on the phone. I don't know who he was talking to. But at one point in the conversation, he kind of clapped to make sure he had my attention, and he waved his hands. And then I heard him say into the phone, "Why don't you appoint me as the trustee?" That stayed with me for some time. I don't know what the answer was to his question, but it stayed with me. And it took quite a while for me to understand that you've got to go out and ask, because that's just what he did. And holy cow. Now, whether that person that was being asked said yes or no, the fact is my client, that attorney, had the gumption to go out and ask for what he wanted.
That is very powerful. My guest has been Jim Charette, author of the book, The Answer is Yes, But First You Have to Ask. Jim, you've probably piqued the interest of some of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
I direct them to my website, which is www.jimcharette.com. And it's J-I-M. Charette is spelled C as in Charlie, H-A-R-E-T-T-E. The book can also be purchased on Amazon. You can find a link there on my website or go there directly and just put "The answer is yes, but first you have to ask" into the Amazon page.
That is great. Jim, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Bill.